In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. I am Jim Hoffman.
And this is Josh Knapp.
Today we are joined by Sky Krum. Am I saying that right, Sky?
Sky Krum.
Krum, I'm sorry. I know you just told me that and I already messed it up. Sky, I asked you to come on today because I know you're in school and I wanted to kind of get your input on a lot of educational issues that are being faced, I think, with a lot of new students out there as far as the teaching and the struggles that a lot of new students are going through. Before we get into it, though, it'd be great you just give people kind of an overview on what you're all about and kind of what your background is a little bit.
Yeah, so I did 3 years at the University of New Mexico doing bio before in 2016 I did my EMTB course and fell in love from day one, and plans changed from there. In 2017 I moved to Virginia to start school at a bachelor's program for emergency sciences. And I've got most of my cert so far, and I only have two more until I test this spring for medic. And I'm super pumped.
Great.
Wow. Congratulations.
Are you working on the ambulance at all, Sky, or like that?
So I'm not working a job currently, but we get so far with my program, I've had about 475 hours of field time. So it's been good. And that includes too doing stuff like PICU and NICU and, you know, all the fun parts so that we can see a little bit of the prolonged care.
Right. And Sky, let me ask, just to kind of get right into it. What have you found, either EMT wise or paramedic wise, is something that I guess you seem maybe a little bit lacking, or something you would even like to see more of? Just to kind of give an idea, I often kind of ask this question when I talk to students and people that ride on the ambulance and stuff, is to kind of get a feel as to where people stay, because some students have no complaints, and others will say, you know, they spend too much time on one topic and not enough on other topics. I just find it very interesting, because it seems to me these days that as long as the education still keeps advancing and the instructors get, you know, more into teaching methods and stuff like that, and they still haven't quite got it down yet.
Right. And it depends on the day too. You know, there's some times where I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. And
right.
Then there are some days where I'm like, it's been a long day. I'm tired.
Right.
But truly, I think one of the things that is kind of unique about fire and EMS is that you have folks who teach just because they've done it.
Yeah.
And we should all know by now that just because you are fantastic at doing the work does not mean that that will translate to trying to teach it. And one of the things that is important with that part is that folks need to plan. You know, when things go well is when instructors have a plan and stick to it. And they have the first day, you know, when we review the syllabus and go through, this is what I want from you, and this is what we're going to be doing. I get that things change, and that's fine. You know, like we had a lab that got changed yesterday because we couldn't go up to the respiratory therapy lab last week. Things like that come up. But the worst thing is when you're going in for a lecture and you know the topic is going to be, I don't know, brain trauma, and you're not prepared and you just have the PowerPoint given to you from the textbook without plans to make it more fun for the class to really take part of. You know, I think that generally we all dislike sitting there all day to just hear you talk about the PowerPoint slides that we can pull up online. So you have to bring more to it, especially when folks in this field, we don't like to sit there.
Done.
Type A, we like to do stuff. You know, we like to give us something to do. So that's just one of the key things to make the training more fun and just work better for the whole class culture-wise. Because if you have folks that are sitting there all day, they're bored, it's not going to go well long-term.
Hey, Sky,
mm-hmm.
Can I give a sort of a translation on that?
Absolutely.
You come to class, you want to learn the subject matter, you want to be engaged, you want your instructor to be prepared and not tell you war stories about when he was on the ambulance and came across somebody who blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I mean, a war story interjected when it's part of the lecture material and to right. give an example is something that's engaging, but just to, you know, tout, you know, oh, I've had so many years experience and I'm out here in front of you and this is why I'm teaching you, instead of delivering information and content.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you were going with that?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, I like when instructors give a story, like you said, Josh, and it relates to the content that they're trying to put out and get you to kind of, you know, grasp. But I think it becomes when the story is that salty dog type story. I had an instructor, we were doing the intubation stuff. He pulls up the Mac blade and a 7.5 tube, and he goes, "You'll intubate the world with this tube and this blade," you know. And then come to find out when you get out on the street that, you know, patients are different sizes, and some patients work better if you use a Miller blade or not a Mac 4 or Mac 3. And mm-hmm. you end up kind of realizing, you know, when you start doing it, that all that was is them being salty and just trying to expound their experience and you know, this is the way I've done it forever, so I want you to do the same type thing.
Right.
I do feel, though, I don't know, from what I've heard and talking to people, the paramedic classes that are the ones that are certificate-based, the ones that are just kind of the standalone technical schools, tend to have more of that than you do when you get medics that go through a college-based paramedic class.
Mm-hmm.
I think the universities or the community colleges or whatever, or even if they're just supported by the community college, tend to kind of vet the instructors a little bit more on their
education
background and stuff like that.
But, you know, when you're dealing with community colleges or even full colleges, they have a process in place to vet their instructors.
Right.
A lot of these hospital-based programs or these certificate-based programs are just like, oh, this is a slot that we need to fill. Let's get an instructor. What's the state requirements? Oh, you need a CIC. You need this. You need that. Okay. Do they check all the boxes? That's great. Whereas, you know, community college, even a community college, vets on the idea of content delivery and do they have the experience to do that task? You know, Sky, I got to tell you, I was listening to you, you know, with you go on about, you know, your resume, and you're not a typical EMS student. A lot mm-hmm. of people get in really, really young. Without mm-hmm. a lot of experience, they see it as an easy way to make some bucks, and they go through the 4 month or 2 month, I've even heard 1 month certificate programs to get your initial BLS card, get on the bus, and then, you know, decide that they want to make more money along the way. you have a lot more of an academic background. And it's kind of interesting to see, you know, somebody who's already had, you know, some standards and learned some standards in the classroom to walk into the EMS world and say, hey, you're not using the same standards. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, part of it is saying, like, there should be a separation. I feel like a lot of the war stories are best told when you're out in the field with a preceptor.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
The lecture, this is just, we need the basis before we get into this one time, you know.
Right, right. It's true. The one time at band camp type story. Sky, I wondered, I know like Josh said, you've got a significant amount of education and all, and I'm wondering, even with that, you know, a lot of times, you know, people that you get to the higher education, you're in school a lot. It doesn't seem like anything you're getting, how do I say this, is too much, right? You feel like, oh, I can use this somewhere. I can use this someplace. But have you seen, as you, like you mentioned, riding the ambulance, have you noted that anything that you've learned as far as on the medic end of it or even the EMT end of it, was just either not necessary or kind of dwelled on too long, where they could have maybe spent more time or even created a different, lecture, a different part of the course that would focus more on what you're actually doing out there in the field?
Mm-hmm. I would say that generally for my program, I've been very lucky to be where I am. I am going towards the critical care track. Okay. So a lot of the things too with the school, you know, we stretch it out a long time. And that allows us to get a really good baseline of being competent. And so I feel like I can't really say that there's something that I feel we dwelled on too long. I know a lot of classmates would say, what? But for me, with the background on, a lot of us are going for crit care. And okay. We know that with that, we have to have more of the patho background. We've just got to know more, right? Like, that's where you're going to use, like, your blood gases. You know, you're not going to use that when you get a call and you're going to somebody who stubbed their toe, which I'm sure we have all gotten.
There
are some things that I feel like we could have spent more time on. Brain trauma, I thought of that one right away because that one was the one where I know it's a weak topic. So I'm constantly trying to learn more about it by myself. But that's what a lot of this field's training should be like, where you know I'm not good at this, so you work on getting better without being told.
Absolutely. It's funny, Scott. That's one thing I have my membership site at TurboMedic. And, you know, people say, oh, can I use this to pass paramedic? Can I use? And I'm like, you know what? It's really, the membership there is based more to help you augment what you've already learned, to help you increase your knowledge and be a better provider on your own. It's not meant to fulfill some cookie cutter continuing education credit or to, you know, actually teach you from start to finish all about, you know, AMP. I mean, the content is there for that, but it's really meant to help you build your knowledge. And I love that you said that, even with all your, you know, the education you've taken and you're being in school full time and stuff, that you realize that there's things that might fall short. And you've got to take that initiative as an EMS professional, as a provider, to go out there and really, you know, seek out the knowledge and seek out the content that's going to improve to make you a better provider. You know, because I think anyone, like you said, will say the same thing, right? There's areas where they feel there was too much of it involved, and other areas where they'll say there wasn't enough of it involved. I know a big part for me was, you know, documentation and stuff like that. We spend such a little time on that, and then such a big part of being on the ambulance is being able to document appropriately and knowing how to document and what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. You know, people like, oh, you know, chief complaint, you know, get the F out of here. You know, that's not the chief complaint. That's the first thing the patient says out. No, it's really not the first thing the patient says out of their mouth. But people take that kind of right to heart, and they'll write that into the joke. But it's not a joke, you know. And that's something I think that doesn't – that I don't – nowadays I think they spend more time on it. But I still think it's something that they don't spend enough time. And why that is, I guess because they feel different places and use different type of documents and different type of software. So they don't get too deep into it. But I think – like for me, like I said, that's one of those things that I felt that really fell short, you know. Yeah, and then when I was handed a chart on the ambulance, I was like, what the hell is this thing, you know?
I think it's also an aspect, Jim, of that they have a set amount of time to deliver the course content. And, yes, you know, the skills are equally as important as documentation. And I'm not pushing, that doesn't mean I'm pushing documentation back. I'm just, that means that what you're learning is a lot of very important aspects of doing the job, and you're learning it in a condensed time frame. So, you know, how does the instructor, how does the course writers, and I feel, differentiate?
And I think you're right, Josh. I mean, when I went to med school, it was a lot shorter than what it is now, right? So you're talking, I went to med school, you know, almost 30 years ago, you know, 25 years ago. So, you know, it was a lot shorter back then than it is now. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, I think that when you talk to people, even nowadays, they'll say, oh, we spent way too much time on this, or I'd love to have more time on something else. So to me, I feel like, okay, well then, especially when you come to the college-based type programs, well, they can drag it out more. They can replace some courses with others that might be more specific to EMS and specific to riding out on the street. You know, they might be, you know, serving the students better if they went and did that. You know,
yeah.
But again, like you said, there is that time limit aspect to it. Right? Even with the college deal, there's only so many hours for every day for each segment. And to get through that, you know, that spring semester, the fall semester, to get to the next level.
So, Sky, I have a question for you because, you know, I heard that you're interested in critical care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand that's critical care transport. That's not like critical care where you stay in the, you're not working in a hospital,
right,
administering that. So one of the questions is why that and not nursing?
Well, I am not into the long-term care that a nurse is mainly training to provide. You know, we focus on the right now where we see somebody for 30 minutes maybe, and they will see them for days or weeks, and that's not the type of work that I want to be doing. Now the critical care part, that is more because I just love to learn, and right, I love to constantly push it and do more. And even right now that I'm going nuts over how much stuff I have, like last week, I think I had like 12 chapters to go through, and then a bunch of questions and quizzes and work. But, you know, I am right now still thinking, what's next? You know,
right,
what do I want to do? Of course, when I'm done with this, I want to go and begin to work full time. But I really don't see myself not going to school, like, period. You know, I just constantly love to learn more, well, push it.
If you're doing, like, I got my CC now 6 years ago, and it absolutely is more learning. It's more in depth. You understand everything from neuro injuries to trauma way, way better than, you know, you do coming out of paramedic school. There's no doubt about that. Critical care jobs can be extremely exciting, but extremely stressful at the same time. I've literally spent 8 hours on a CC job, just moving the patient from the hospital bed to my stretcher. That wow. wasn't including transport time or moving them back over. Those are some of the more involved jobs where you're involved with like an ECMO team and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely fascinating to be present for that. It's absolutely exciting and invigorating to be part of that. But it is a very, very limited, you know, when you're talking about a patient that's that sick, mm-hmm. it is still a micro slice of the care that they're going to get to the path to recovery.
Right.
And so I always... You end up getting a doc or a nurse riding with you, right, for patients that are that in depth?
Well, so in my system, we're one of the more unusual parts of the country where they just send out 2 CC medics and we handle the whole thing. Now, when it comes to like an ECMO transfer, and when I say handle the whole thing, so if it's a balloon pump, if it's transcutaneous pacing, right. if it's vented, you know, multiple drips, all that, we'll handle that. When it comes to the ECMO part of it, because there's specialized equipment, they send you with a perfusionist and usually in one of the intern doctors who are learning it. The actual doctors who are running this show will come in, cannulate the great vessels, set up the ECMO, make sure that it's working, and then leave. And they usually don't transport with us. But right. when you're like in New Jersey, there is no critical care in New Jersey. You have to have a critical care nurse with you. And it's very frustrating to us because they don't know our equipment. They don't know anything. And generally, they'll sit in the back of the ambulance and just, you know, do their little bit of documentation. And we do all of the patient care anyway. And so it's, you know, it's just a matter of what the state rules are that are allowing you to operate, you know, that dictate, you know, what the scenario is and who's on the ambulance. But, you know, so I back off of that and I say, you know, CC is great. If you just love learning, it's great. Mm-hmm. But the work that you're going to be doing on the ambulance is certainly more complex.
Right.
Some of the time. And, you know, just like those jobs don't happen all the time, the more typical job is what we call the lock and box, where you have a IV, maybe some fluid running, maybe some medicine running, and a monitor. And that's what you're transporting the patient on.
Right.
So when it comes to being involved and learning and everything else, I just see the nursing path so much greater. And when you talk about the amount of time that you're with the patient, when you're on CC, you're with the patient a long time as well. I mean, certainly not days, you know, but I would think that you would have a lot more involvement over those days in the treatment and adjustment of care than you would on an ambulance ride.
Right. And, you know, the best thing too is that although I'm going to school with the focus on crit care, I'm not sure in what role I want to work that in. And, you know, it's the great thing about being young or new to a field is that you kind of need to
have options,
a little bit of time to learn and say, okay, I like that as much as I think, or, you know what? No, I don't, you know? So,
mm-hmm. So Sky, have you found with the education, you know, being a little higher than, like Josh said, most people coming in, do you find that it has prepared you more for what you've seen in the field? I know you like you said, you're still kind of doing the clinical stuff, the rotational type stuff, mm-hmm. but you've still seen, you know, patients, you know what I mean? And do you mm-hmm. feel, even as a third party with a preceptor, that you kind of were grasping what was going on better because of the deeper education?
Oh, absolutely. And we are compared constantly to different programs to for this, for a nurse. The RT thing that we went to yesterday gave us a question, and I forget what it was, but we all said, oh, yeah, to fix that, do PEEP. And the guy goes, you know, the third-year medical school kids came, and they had no idea. So, you know, we're constantly being compared to that. So it's nice for me, too, because, you know, I know we are being prepared extraordinarily well. And, you know, one of the things that we do, too, for the folks that we work with in the field, they got to pass like a 12-lead packet, and it has some of the most tough interpretations that you can find. And got to get, I think, like a B to be allowed to precept us. And we did the same thing too, but we got them completely right. And that was like the standard that we keep or try to keep.
Right.
And so there's a shifting when y'all were talking a while back about we don't spend a lot of time on the real life skills, the day to day, you know, building teamwork, getting along well with folks that you may not like, writing stuff out that you're supposed to. You know, these are things that I definitely think all programs need to spend more time on. And because this field is a lot about your own learning and you bringing in and saying, I want to do well at this, I feel like to a point, there's not a thing wrong with instructors throwing out more stuff about, you know, look at this and read this and do that. It's not for class, but it's for you to do.
Now, if you were to put yourself into the, you know, I understand you're sort of doing this, you're not working full time. Mm-hmm. How would you feel? I mean, have you ever sort of thought if you put yourself into the shoes of somebody who was trying to support a household and looking to just better their skill sets so they could run into the next pay grade, you know, and become a paramedic so they could, you know, earn that paycheck. You know, is there room for you to have a life outside of this class? Could you imagine working a full-time job in EMS and doing this class at the same time? Because I know you're talking about being excited about extra work, but mm-hmm. I know Jimmy and I, when we went to medic school, we were working the bus full time and pulling overtime and mm-hmm. trying to pay the bill for medic school and trying to study and all these things. You know, extra work didn't excite me at that point right. in time. You know, so where do you find that balance, or is that not a concern to you? I mean,
it's definitely something I think about a lot because most of my classmates are in that role, and I see what they go through and try to, you know, give them the guides that I write up and stuff like that to just make it that much more simple for them. Mm-hmm. But you have to separate from life, school, work. And folks that don't do that, that allow this job to consume their life, are not going to do well long term. And I've seen that time and time again with instructors that I've met that they're saying they're doing this now because they can't work the truck now. They've seen too much. They can't deal. They found no good way to cope with the stress that we have day to day.
Right.
And we all know how much people here drink it's a big culture problem on the ways that we cope are not ways that will sustain us.
Yeah.
So what's your answer? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim.
I'm sorry. I got to start wrapping up, guys, because I got another appointment. I have to be there at 12. So I want to wrap this up. I literally could talk to Sky now for like another hour. There's so many questions that I'd love to present to you, Sky, and get your take on it. So hopefully you'll come back and join us for another episode. Because I'd love to talk, really get in depth a little bit about what we had mentioned before the show about the flipped classroom and all that type of stuff. I'd love to get your take on that, because I see a lot of instructors pushing that, but not hearing a lot from the students and their take on it. But Sky, I know you had said you had a couple of books you wanted to kind of maybe shout out there before we wrap up, maybe give people an idea of some of the stuff you're reading and what they maybe get their hands on to help, you know, them deal with stuff.
Yeah, there are three main books, and one of them is Dope Sick by Beth Macy. And that one just talks about the drug problem that is so potent across the country.
Okay.
The next one is Verbal Judo by George Thompson.
Great book. Great book.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you know
They should teach a section of that in EMS.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, this should be a required book.
Yes.
The next one, the last one, is The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick, I'm going to say it wrong, Lincioni. That book is going to really show you how things falter in teams that we don't know about. Because in the field, we think about a team as we get stuff done. We don't think about the communications part outside of the call. And we need to, because we need to, I'm not saying be friends, but I'm saying that we need to all improve our communication when we are not working the scene.
Yeah.
That's right, guys, to provide better.
Sky, what I'll do with you, you can send me an email or DM me those titles on Facebook, and I'll go ahead and get the links up, and people can actually go and order them direct. I'll put them in the show notes when I post this. Like I said, guys, sorry I'm wrapping up a little sooner than what I would have liked, but, you know, time is of the essence these days.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely have you back, Sky. Yeah, I mean, there's so much more to go into this, and, you know, one show doesn't justify it.
Yeah,
but I'd love to talk about even breaking it out to the verbal judo and other aspects.
Yeah. Yep, yep. All right. Anything else, Josh, you want to mention anything before we close out?
No. There's, everything. See you next show. See you next episode.
All right, Sky, once again, I so appreciate you joining us. We'll definitely get you back on here and get into some more topics. And like I said, that flipped classroom thing, I really want to get into that and get your take on that. Anyone listening, also, I know I mentioned TurboMedic earlier in the show. I do have a trial membership to that. If you want to check it out, just kind of kick the tires, you can go to emsseo.com/turbo. Other than that, that is it. Thanks again. And as always, I am Jim Hoffman.
And Josh Knapp.
Guys, EMS Office Hours, you can contact me. Don't forget, it's contact@emsofficehours.com. Follow us on Twitter @EMSSafe, on Instagram @EMSSafe, and, of course, the Facebook page is facebook.com/EMS professional. All right, guys, that's it. As always, stay safe.